Good morning and welcome to Filtered. It is Tuesday, second episode of the week. It's our daily digital thought download. I'm Megan Cassidy and I'm joined as always by Jamie Heaslip. We wanted to mark Mental Health Day, which was this Sunday. I think it certainly warrants a week worth of content. Our two most popular episodes so far, Jamie, you know one of them because I monitored the analytics. Burnout is by far the most popular, three times more popular than any other episode. And when to quit your job. The one that went live on Friday.
Well, firstly, can I just, I'm going to apologize to people who are just listening to us. The joys of working from home, as we're all going through. My wife, I think, is on a conference call next door, and my neighbor is drilling. It feels like they're going to drill into this wall right now, but they're renovating their house. So the joy. So apologies to anyone who's just listening to us.
Ideal. I think everyone's used to those mini interruptions by now. They're just part and parcel of our new working lives. But today we just wanted to talk a little bit about mental health habits and the importance of incorporating them into your day, whether you've been impacted or not. So I think whether you have suffered or not, it is so crucial to develop some habits that future-proof your mental health.
It's really interesting to hear that, like the standouts in terms of what people are listening to, episode about burnout and leaving your job, which to me, I think is a build-up. You know, it's a tipping point for a lot of people. And it's not identifying the things that are chronic, that you don't think are chronic, you know what I mean? That you just take for granted. And it's something that probably wasn't really talked about all that long ago. But how important it is to have the conversations, to not being afraid to be vulnerable. And I think that's how we grow, by being vulnerable and looking for help for with other people. I think success truly happens when you do it with others. And I think that's how you find fulfillment and happiness, and knowing that you don't have to go through this alone and there's always someone there. I mean, I was trying to think of what are my mental health practices that help me or have helped me. And, you know, straight out the bat, I mean, I do the most days, you know, meditate every morning for about 10, 15 minutes. I'll journal as well. At the start of the day, I'll journal twice a day. So at the start of the day, it's very much about what I want to achieve that day. And at the end of the day, it's more like a brain dump, if I'm honest. It's like reflecting on the day. In that morning as well, I'll have gratitude practice. I think that's very, very important in kind of setting yourself up. And then, like I said, reflecting at the end of the day, it's very important to learn, you know, if something didn't go well, why didn't it go well? Or why did you react to a certain scenario? Or why did that make you anxious? You know what I mean? How can you look down the road ahead to maybe react differently? You can use different models like the TACT model or you know, ACE First as well. There are different type of models that we use in the coaching facility to maybe look at how we could approach something a little bit different to help with those feelings.
So what's the TACT model? TACT, is it?
Tune in, acknowledge, choose, and take action. So okay. Tune in to your emotions. So you recognize the feeling of anxious and anger towards this situation or a colleague or something happened to you. Acknowledge these emotions and acknowledge they're happening. And then by tuning in and acknowledging, you're giving themselves kind of time to decide what action to take and what will best serve them in the moment. And then take action is taking action now that you've decided. So because you're giving your time, you're basically kind of giving yourself time to kind of think it through as opposed to immediate reaction. You know, and that model is a very simple model and it might not work in every scenario, but it's definitely something that I use with clients. It's definitely something we explore. But coming back to in terms of daily habits, like I really, really do believe in journaling, gratitude and meditation as key things.
Yeah, I think that tact model, it's funny because I've been doing it without knowing I was doing it. And that really happened in lockdown. I started really tuning into the physical reaction that happens when you get anxious. Yeah. It's a very, and for me, it's a very physical reaction. I feel it in my stomach straight away. Other people might get headaches. You might feel sick. You might get fatigued. But very often, something that starts in your head with a thought becomes a feeling very quickly. And the book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza, that I mentioned in the last episode, really hones in on that idea of it all starts with the thought. So it's a very vicious circle in that if you wake up and your first thought is, oh, I have to do this, this and this today, that thought then causes a physical reaction in your stomach, a sickness or a butterflies or a nervousness. The feeling then causes a thought, I can't handle this, I'm not feeling well, I don't feel up to it. That thought then causes, and it just is a never-ending cycle of thoughts causing feelings causing thoughts. But if you can cut that off at the root and monitor those thoughts, and the things you're describing there are exactly how you do that. You wake up and you practice gratitude, you get a positive thought going straight away. You journal so that you can see on a page how your brain is processing things. What are the thoughts that are maybe negative that you could pluck out? You recognize, so you're tuning in, and meditation is really key for this. Recognize when you're getting a physical feeling because of a thought. And I think that's really where anxiety is starting to manifest itself in, very often illness. And it does build up, and we always talk about the chronic buildup. But if you're having these negative thoughts, these negative chemical reactions every day, there will be a physical consequence of that. Something I read that was really interesting is that anxiety has actually been a tool for tribes to survive for years. Because if you think of a tribe or a group of, say, chimpanzees, the anxious one is the one that can't really sleep at night and is constantly alert. And the minute you remove the anxious chimp from the group, they just don't survive because there's no one there watching. The added layer that we have as humans is that we're not just anxious, we're aware that we're anxious. And that causes an extra layer of, you can start getting annoyed at yourself for being anxious. And that's something I've plucked out at, because as you're talking about journaling, I was writing down about how, you know, I was disappointed I was feeling anxious when I shouldn't feel anxious. Cut that out. That's adding an extra layer of anxiety. You feel anxious, accept you feel anxious. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, it's important, but like, I mean, to use your chimp thinking, you know, like, chronic anxiety is not good. You know what I mean? It's like chronic stress. It builds up after a while, and you gotta look for different outlets to kind of almost relieve that stress. And that's why, you know, it would not be, you know, obviously we do have the caveat, we're not doctors or anything like that. So if there is something, obviously, you know, go see someone who is qualified to help, you know. But a big belief I do have is the importance that it's all one ecosystem. So I don't think it's wise to separate the physical health from your mental health. Do you know what I mean? I think it's the whole one ecosystem that, and they can both help each other, to your point of that feeling that you get. Another really good model in terms of recognizing how you're reacting is like the ACE first model. You know what I mean? So ACE first stands for, actions, cognitions, emotions. First stands for focus, intentions, results, system, intention. So here you're kind of IDing the actions, you know, what you did, what you said, and, you know, how others, you know, what you actually did. And then what your cognitions, like, what are your thoughts? What are the attitudes, you know, your emotions? How did you feel? And then what was the focus? What were you trying to do? What actually happened? And what were the external factors? Like, what was happening in the system? And then where did you feel this physically? So it's kind of what you alluded to there. It's not a model of trying to, mental model of trying to frame it. And mental models are really, really useful, I think, in terms of helping us form these maps of how to deal with certain scenarios. And back to what you said at the very start, it's figuring out what model works best for you.
Yeah.
I think
what I really like there is, you know, being clinical about saying what actually happened here, because a lot of anxiety is born from, you know, what you perceive to have happened versus what's actually happening. Example, when you're taking off in a plane, you perceive yourself to be in danger, and you get the chemicals, if you have a fear of flying, which I do, the chemicals start to come in, and you perceive danger, and it's just getting worse and worse. And no amount of logic or
someone's
saying...
Someone's at the side door.
There's someone's at the door.
Do you need to go and get that?
No, it's fine. It's fine.
So you perceive that danger, and no amount of studies or reading that says flying is the safest way to travel are going to... it cut off those chemicals until you really hack your brain around, you know, fear doesn't mean danger. And when you can start saying fear is not danger, you start coming towards kind of being able to...
It's like that CIA tool that we've talked about in the past, you know, control, influence, accept. Mm-hmm. You know, what is in your circle of control? And then I suppose what's in your circle of influence? And then the outside layer is what... Circle, you just gotta accept that you've nothing over. And look, but like, I mean, obviously, you know, the thing about mental health, I suppose, is that you never really know what's going on, you know, behind the curtain for people, unless you talk to them,
yeah,
or unless they talk to you, and that's the most important thing that I've learned over the last few years around it, in terms of realizing that, you know, the way you see it is not the way someone else is seeing it, or not the way they're feeling it, and they can be coming from a completely different perspective, and that's, you know, that's probably the most important thing, like I said, that I've learned over the last few years in terms of mental health, and how different situations, environments, problems, challenges affect people in many, many different ways.
Yes. And while social media is definitely becoming a place where it's talked about more, and you've seen people that you would never have thought in a million years suffered with mental health come out and say, look, these are my particular demons. And it's becoming apparent that everyone has a demon, or everyone has something that kind of jumps out every now and then and holds them back a little bit. But I think another great habit is to reduce, again, social media. I mean, it sounds repetitive, but I think repetition is good when it comes to, we're trying to filter it down to what actually works, what are the habits worth keeping and the habits worth losing to reach your full potential. And I think, you know, taking everything you see on social media as gospel is certainly has a bad impact on mental health. And once you start using that mute, unfollow, those buttons, for me, it's just extraordinary.
I am the biggest fan of... Before you could just mute people, I would block you for anything. I'd block people for anything. And my simple thing was like, I just don't want it in my realm. You know, it'd be a good or bad, you know, and now I've learned that you can mute, which is a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you can choose that. Like that's again, coming back to choice. You can choose not to have someone impact your day. Done.
But it's easier said than done for people, you know what I mean? Like these are habits, you know, there's people who are completely digital native and this is all they know. There are people who this is a completely absurd to them using social media, you know? Look, we're all at different stages in that regard. But again, it's coming, finding out what, figuring out what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and having an honest conversation with yourself around that. You know, and then looking for help around ways and solutions to move forward. I think that's, you know, there are a couple of, you know, really, they sound simple, but really important steps that you have to take.
Yeah, keep the conversation going and always be kind. You never know how someone else is perceiving a situation. Okay, that's us. We will see you again tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for another episode of Filtered. Thanks, Jamie.
Take care.